with Kevin and Sonia.
Have you ever gotten the wrong package? What'd you do with it? You can be honest with us. This is a safe zone. We get wrong packages all the time.
You do?
Yeah, sometimes
Lucky.
It's for people that are just down the street from us. And so we'll, you know, go down to the neighbors and, hi, we got your package again. And they're like, oh, looking for that. Oh. Or sometimes it's the other way around. Like, we live in a duplex. And so sometimes our neighbors will get our package, we'll get their packages instead. You know, Amazon, Pure Later, whatever it may be.
You know what the problem is? I don't usually read the, and this is probably a fault on myself, because I don't usually read the name that's on the package. I just assume that if it's in my mailbox or if it's in front of my door,
it's for you.
It's for me, so I just open it right away.
There's a lot of times that's happened to us where we open up someone else's mail because, again, we just kind of assume it's for us.
And now you're like, oh, I know a lot about my neighbor.
Yeah.
What is this
plain
thing?
Plain brown. Well, there's a Vancouver bookstore that's making the news. Pulp Fiction Books in Kits has shared on social media that they received a video game cartridge in the mail that was not for them because it was filled with hard drugs.
Oh.
The bigger story is that they used Pulp Fiction Books as the return address with insufficient postage as a way to sort of get the hard drugs via mail fraud.
Because oh, my gosh.
What happens is if you don't have enough postage, they send it back to, well,
where it is,
where the sender was. And in this case, they ended up for some reason being the recipient of all these drugs, which, of course, they turned into the police.
Right.
But in your case, if you have ever been the recipient of a package that was not meant for you, what was it and what did you do with it? Madison, what was it for you?
It was a straightening hairbrush.
Okay. Those things are pretty expensive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was sent to your address, but the wrong name.
Yeah.
Was it a name from somebody you knew? Maybe it was a gift.
Ooh.
I don't think so. We didn't know the name.
Oh, so okay. You gave it back, didn't you?
No.
There's Madison with her really great straight hair, as she says.
Did it work well?
Yeah, I loved it. My mom didn't like it, though.
Okay. Well, at least somebody liked it. Did you even go to the point where you left the review on Amazon? Was sent my accident to my house? Well, 10 out of 10 would recommend, especially if it's free.
No,
if this gets sent to your house, please do not send it back. Great investment.
No, because that's admitting to mail fraud.
Oh. Yeah.
Much like you're doing now in the air. So thank you for that.
Kiss with Kevin and Sonia.
And that's of fear-mongering. Experts say one of the biggest threats to modern medicine can be linked to eating sushi.
Oh, no. Okay, it's going to be okay. We can dissect this. We can figure out a way around it. It's not the end of the world, Kevin. Those of you who listen to the show know that the most important thing in his life, not his kids, his wife, it's sushi.
Kids?
Did you kid, put an S kid, on it? Sorry, kid.
You have another one? Whoa. Kid.
Jordan, pretty. Oh. One and a half.
Oh, yes. Also, there's more wrong with that than just that, but I stood out.
What's
so, yes,
wrong?
I love my sushi, but researchers say that the number of antibiotic-resistant infections in the oceans have doubled between 2009 and 2015. And so they're now warning against eating raw or undercooked sushi because it could lead you to catch one of the nasty superbugs, they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So they're leading all this back to sushi increasing your risk of, well, getting quite sick and not knowing how to treat it. And it is a real thing, but I don't want to believe it.
No. And this has always been an issue, though.
Has it?
Well, that's why when you're pregnant, you can't have raw fish because they're worried about the bacteria and the sickness that can come with it. And that's why. But because you're eating it as a healthy individual without having a parasite in your body, a.k.a. the baby, which is the word it's technically.
What?
Do they call it a parasite?
That's what they call it.
Oh. No.
Yeah, at the doctor's office.
I mean, parents will call their kids parasites once in a while, just non-ironically.
Because it's in your body, right? And it's taking over everything and all the functions. And that's why they say when you're pregnant, like, it's fine for you to have raw sushi. And it's fine because your body will be able to fight it if there is anything wrong with it.
Right.
But for somebody who is pregnant, your immune system is already being compromised. So they say that that's why you should stay away from it. So it's always been an issue. I guess the increase now that it's just a little, and that's all goes a lot into safe handling of it as well. It's something we don't necessarily have to worry too much about here in Vancouver. The reason being our seafood here is very fresh and it's usually taken care of. It's not necessarily just sitting there and not flash frozen. Because here we flash freeze it right away as soon as we get the fresh fish. I know a lot about sushi.
I was going to say, how do you know all this stuff, Sonia? I'm really
because
impressed.
Because I still wanted to be able to eat my sushi while pregnant. So I've had to call places.
Until you got the answer that you wanted, right?
To make sure that they, right when the shipment comes in or whenever they get the, wherever the fish comes from, that it's flash frozen immediately. And that's what kills a lot of those.
The bacteria.
And doesn't make you sick. And that therefore, it's okay for me to have from those reputable places.
Right. Option two would just be to tempura everything. So as long as you stay away from the healthy stuff, then you're fine. You and the baby are fine. You and your parasite will be fine.
This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fuck up.
Can't be right.
What?
When you hear of a poll and then you see the stats like this, that the majority, and we're talking like 63% of millennials, say that this is the one hotel amenity that they would like to see the most in their rooms
I would have automatically have said free Wi-Fi, but since you don't believe it, it's got to be something totally obscure. I got it. A bidet.
I've never tried a bidet.
Me neither, but I've seen them in hotels before.
Many countries around the world, like that is standard, right?
Yeah. Is that it? That's not it?
No, that's not it. Okay. Again, 63% of people in the millennial age group say that this is what they'd like to see most in their hotel rooms. I would have thought it would be something like, you know, having a charger right beside your bedstand, your nightstand.
That's a good one.
Because not all hotels have that, and it's horribly frustrating.
Yeah, terrible planning.
I would have thought it would be free parking included, because boy, isn't that just a big pain in the butt. When you have like your hotel, it's $200 a night, $300, whatever, and then on top of that, $50 a night for parking?
Yeah, no thanks. Hard pass on that one.
But in this case, this particular study says that millennials would rather have plants in their hotel room.
What?
Real ones?
Thank you. You know, it just says plants, and I don't know if they indicate that they want real plants. Maybe what you...
I would like a dispensary. You know, you have got the mini bar already set up with the lock and key right beside it. I would like the plants that are also behind lock and key that I can go...
Okay.
This is not personal, by the way. I'm just saying.
Here I am thinking that, in fact, it is about like the health benefits, or maybe it's for IG that you can have plants in the background.
Yeah.
You know, people say that they feel better, that it's a mood booster when you're around nature.
If you want plants, go to a garden. You don't need them in your room.
And that's why a lot of hotels do have like a garden area. A lot of restaurants, especially here now, you can see they spend a lot of money on like plants and green walls so that they can have all the plants growing. And it's beautiful and it's fantastic because you can use it for Instagram. But in this case, I think there was a little more, you know.
Nobody can see what you're doing. Oh, yeah. So you're going to have to
do this like...
Oh, is that how you do it?
We're so straight edge, we don't even know.
Oh, okay.
Not a clue. But that's your answer. You're welcome. Crack the code. Give me another life issue, I'll solve it.
You solve this?
Coming soon to Best Westerns.
Dispensaries, in-room dispensaries.
This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fun up.
So, it's cuffing season. And if you are asked out on a date to this location, I want to know if you would say no automatically, if you would consider it, or if it's an automatic yes.
Can you please give people a definition for cuffing season and what it means?
Isn't it just where you just, you know, because it's getting cozier, it's the sort of the time of the year where you kind of start to look for a little bit of love?
Yeah, it's when you don't mind being tied down with a relationship this time of year. Yeah.
So a lot of people are, you know, discovering new people.
I just love that you use the term. So impressed.
What was the term we used yesterday? You gave me a hard time for. I can't remember what
it
was.
You said lit.
I said it was lit. It's like when John Horgan said lit.
Now he can use it. Now Kevin can use it. It's 3 years late.
That's what happens when I try to sound cool. Anyway.
Okay.
Can you bring a date to a food court?
Sure. I'm sure there's no doorman. That's like you can't.
Not
bring.
Can you? I mean, of course you can. But like if someone were to say, hey, you know, what do you think about meeting up at a food court? Would you automatically say, nah, or are you cool with that? Producer Jordan, you're not quite sure about that. Why?
If it's attached to the mall, like say you're going to the food court just to eat, like for a first date, but you're going around the mall and just like hanging out there, neutral ground, you know, looking at clothes, that kind of stuff. just going to the food court? Hey, baby, I want to take you to New York fries.
I don't know. Grab an appy. Grab a poutine or something like that.
You know
what?
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I am cool with it. And because, you know, I figure everyone can get what they want. You get to find out what kind of person somebody is at the food court. And one of the big takeaways I would have seen is, you know, Kevin, you and I look at the same thing at the food court. Did you put away your tray? Or did you leave it on the table?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of person are you? Because if you're a leave the tray on the table kind of guy, you're not my kind of guy.
Don't get me wrong. It's not the most romantic date. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're right. You can tell a lot about a person based upon, one, how they act in the food court. And number two, their reaction if you suggest, hey, let's go to the food court for a date.
You know, and I will also say that a lot of times, like producer Jordan was touching on, like, is it the only plan or is it a supplemental plan? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when you go to the movie theater, like for example, downtown, one of the movie theaters is attached to a mall. So we would go to a food court beforehand, quickly have a dinner, buy your tickets, and then you would have a quick meal, snack, and then you'd go into the theater.
Super cash.
Why
like you said,
not?
Everyone gets what they want.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. Mind you, I was also, when I was single, just happy someone was asking me out on a date.
Doesn't matter where.
What do you want to do? Anything.
You know what they should do? They should try doing that on the next season of The Bachelor. Mm. You know, Pilot Pete, right? Just see the reactions of the girls who expect to be like flown away in a helicopter. Like, no, we're going to go head over to the local mall, get New York fries.
Oh my God, they'd love it. They think that they were going to get a shopping spree.
Oh.
And for a lot of those contestants on the show, they'd be like, oh, I can eat. Okay.
Wake the fun up with Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Well, you know, Hollywood is all about remakes, so why not remake some classic songs like this one? There you go. So the Friends theme song is actually going to be re-recorded, and the debut of that new song will be coming up on the 22nd as part of the 25th anniversary of the beloved sitcom.
Poor Rembrandts.
They're still around, right? So
are they?
I think. Aren't
okay.
they?
Yeah, probably.
At the very least, could they not do a reunion to perform that song live?
But I guess people want it redone. We saw it with Full House, Fuller House.
That's right. Carly Rae Jepsen, Hometown Girl.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Redid
so
it.
Meghan Trainor has been tapped to record this new version of I'll Be There For You, and she'll be performing it at the very exact moment and the exact day that Friends debuted back in 1994. On top of that, there's going to be like world landmarks lighting up in the colors of the Friends logo.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, like Empire State Building, like places in Dubai.
What?
It's a show that has been around, you know, a quarter of a century. You know, a new generation is discovering it now on Netflix, for example.
Uh-huh. It is iconic, let's be real.
It's also horribly problematic if you watch some of the older episodes.
Yeah.
Like,
have you watched back any of the episodes?
Okay,
it does
I have.
Not stand the test of time.
No, that is very true. But I think the characters, like, you reference back to them. Like, Rachel's hair. Like, that is just, like, there's certain things that stick out like that, right?
Sure.
It's memorable.
But I just didn't expect it to be that big of a deal. I'm sorry.
As a fan. Like, you were a fan back in the day of Friends,
I watched
right?
it. I watched it. I wanted my hair to be like Rachel. Sure. Mm-hmm. I understood Monica and her craziness of wanting the place clean. She reminded me of my mother.
OCD.
And
yeah.
The idea of your friends living all, like, down the hall from each other and sharing an apartment.
Seemed like a dream. But I didn't. Yeah, I know it's got a huge following, but that's really a brave thing for Meghan Trainor to do, to redo the Friends theme song. And I say that because Friends fans are diehards.
Right.
They go to the pop-up shops. They go to Central Perk. They reference it to this day. And the show's been over for how many years?
So we've got a classic. I mean, like, it better be a good version.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was any cover of the Friends theme song that I think would be worth sharing, it's this version. It went viral just recently. It's the Friends theme in a minor key.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you're broke, your love life's the away. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year.
Here we go.
Isn't
it sound like Evanescence?
It does.
Excuse me while I Google therapist near me. Immediate openings.
See, wow. this version of the Friends theme song would go really, really well with all the problematic episodes. Like, just imagine, you know, all the fat-shaming jokes at Monica.
Yeah!
I feel like the clap would be slow, too. It'd be like...
Well, the fact that there was no clap in there actually made it even sadder.
Yeah.
Now you know it's serious. There's no clapping.
Wake the fun up. Wake the fun up. With Kevin and Sonia on KISS Radio.
As we broadcast live from one of the most beautiful places on the entire planet. That, according to Flight Network, one of the largest Canadian-owned airline travel agencies. They talk to travel writers and bloggers and travel agencies around the world. And we beat out places like Barcelona, Sydney, Rome, Singapore, places in New Zealand and the UK. So we came in fifth on this list.
Congratulations, Vancouver.
And you only need to look as far as, you know, the airport or talk to tourists and friends, family who come from out of town and watch them marvel at the mountains.
And know that this place is beautiful.
Yeah.
But can I just say this? Unpopular opinion. I don't agree with the place that's number one.
Okay,
Paris.
So let's go through. Yeah, so Paris is number one. Number two is New York. Number three is London, England. And then Venice, Italy, followed by Vancouver. So why don't you think Paris deserves to be the most beautiful place on the earth?
Maybe it's because it's just overhyped. And that's what I thought. I went to Paris for the first time for our honeymoon last year. And when we were there, it was good. It was beautiful and it was great, but it was a little hyped up.
What did you expect it to be, though? Like, when I went to Paris with my wife, I felt like it was just breathtaking that every time you turn, there's this new architecture, the history behind everything, the Arc de Triomphe, the Eiffel Tower. When you look up, no matter where you are in the city, that was, like, you didn't find that beautiful?
I mean, it's nice, but I think it's just been romanticized way too much when you go in, when you watch all your rom-com movies, because I'm a sucker for those films.
Okay.
And watching them, oh, she falls in love with a prince, and she's in Paris, and da da da
da. And they have a parade down the Champs-Élysées, and like, okay.
Look at this. Fantastic. And all I remember is when I was going and hanging out at all these little cafes that other people were, I was like, what? $10 for a plate of fries? That's so expensive. And then I was like, what? You want me to spend $6 on a shot of espresso? What?
You can tell how angry Sonia is by the octave range that she goes into when she gets upset.
I was so broke. And I couldn't handle it. It really took away from my experience is how expensive it was. And I get it. Vancouver is expensive as well. I totally do. But when I went to Italy after that, I sound like such a rich person right now. I was embarrassed when I was in Italy. I was like, hell yeah. You can get half a liter of wine for $5. This is great.
Okay,
my
so
kind of place. This is beautiful.
The cost was what really sullied your image of Paris. And again, we're just talking about what they call the most beautiful cities. But for you, you couldn't get past like the conversion of euros and how much things cost. I will say the smoking was the biggest standout to me in Paris because everywhere you go, like it is a wall of smoke. Like I remember because we didn't have access to a laundromat in our hotel where we were staying.
Right.
We washed our clothing, our jeans, for example, in the bathtub. And the water literally turned like tar black.
Mm-hmm.
It was disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you hold your breath in Paris, I think it's pretty beautiful.
It is breathtaking. If you want to take it to that level. Beautiful place. But, you know, I'm just, you know what? I'm one of those Vancouverites. I'm typical Vancouverite. Well, I will complain about our city. But if you complain about it, well, you better watch your back. It's my city.
100%.
Right?
Kevin and Sonia's not-so-secret word.
Brought to you by Pepper Wireless, the number one Fido dealer.
Monty and Burnaby, I know you were jamming out to that song too, right?
Yep.
See? They tell you, you feel that song.
You probably heard Kevin jamming out to it as well.
And all the dogs in the neighborhood because I hit the high notes. Carly in Vancouver, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you may have heard the news this morning. Ice dancing superstars Tessa Virtue, Scott Moyer have announced that they are hanging up their skates and they are going to be retiring after doing all their amazing performances together.
Yeah, 22 years and their career. They're saying they're closing up with the upcoming Rock the Rink tour, which has a couple stops here in the Lower Mainland. And I love their message. I love what they had to say because, you know, they are the most decorated Olympic ice dancers in the history of the world. And yet they are... Here, just take a listen.
We're in such good hands in Canada. The next generation of skaters is going to blaze new trails, break all of our records, and we can't wait to cheer them on.
And we'll be there watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll be there supporting them and...
Isn't that just great? Like, the class acts all the way.
So encouraging for anybody else who looks. They know that there are role models, right? They they know that every other figure skating group, no matter what city you're in, looks up to them. And a lot of them dream of that. They're like, okay, you be Tessa and I'll be Scott. Let's play. Or you know what I mean? And they do their routines based on that sort of stuff. So having that support and knowing that you've got them behind you and you have a chance to maybe one day make it to the Olympics and perform in front of them as well, that's quite the honor.
Yeah, and we had Tessa Virtue on the show a couple weeks ago. And hopefully we'll have them both in prior to the Rock the Rink tour. But Monty and Carly, as Tessa and Scott are ready to hang up their skates, today's not-so-secret word is?
Hang. H-A-N-G. Hang.
Okay, so Monty and Carly will give you 30 seconds on the clock each and a series of clues as to words, phrases, and names that all have hang somewhere in the answer. If you get the most right in your 30 seconds, you win. If you get stuck, you can pass, but you only get...
One pass!
Okay, Monty... Did you say two passes?
remix.
Wishful thinking. If I say two, will they give me two?
No.
Monty, you called in first. So Team Kevin or Team Sonia?
Kevin.
All right, Monty. 30 seconds with the not-so-secret word hang. Our time begins right now. When a TV show ends where you don't know what happens, what's that called?
Cliffhanger.
Yes. You put your clothes onto one of these in the closet.
Hanger.
Yes. You get this a little piece of skin on your finger, and it hurts if you rip it off, so you use your...
Hangnail.
Yes. When you're done talking to someone on the phone, you do this.
Hang out.
Yes. When you go with friends, you're doing this. Hey, let's...
Hang out.
Yes. You're not feeling after a night of drinking. You feel what?
Hangover.
Yes. It's when you haven't eaten, you're getting really mad. What's that called?
Angry.
Did you get that in time? Yeah, hangry.
What did you...
Sorry, what did you say?
Angry.
Angry, yeah.
You said it on the buzzer with that one.
You got seven, my friend. Monty, well done. With an assist from whoever you're working with there.
I just got home.
Good timing, too. All right, so Carly, can you beat seven or at least tie with Team Sonia?
Absolutely.
Let's try it. 30 seconds on the clock. It starts now. It's a city in China.
Shanghai?
Yeah. It's a sport you do in the air. You fly while you're holding on to a bar with wings above you.
Pass.
Okay. When you put your hand in a fist and you put your pinky and your thumb out, surfers do it all the time. Like, hey.
Intent.
No, think of another name, opposite of tight. It's something is...
Hang loose.
Yeah. A game you played with your friends on paper. You think of a saying and then you draw the person, more of the person every single time.
Hangman.
Yes. This is a really tall building in Vancouver. It's a hotel in downtown. Ooh. Shangri-La is what we're looking for there. But you ended up getting three. The one that you passed on, hang gliding. Hang gliding. But you ended up getting three correct. Not enough for the win. Monty, congratulations, though, for
congratulations.
You. We offer you a family pack of tickets to go to Science World at Telus World of Science.
Woo-hoo!
Congratulations. You're going for free courtesy of Kiss Radio. And keep listening because all week long we got your chance to win with a not-so-secret word.
That's right. Your next chance to win coming up tomorrow after 8 o'clock. Monty, congratulations. Carly, maybe tomorrow is going to be your big day.
There's a Canadian climate scientist that has just been honored with a huge award from the UN, and it's their Environmental Award in Science and Innovation. She ended up getting this award for having the highest environmental honor. It's for her stalwart commitment to quantify the effects of climate change and her tireless efforts to transform public attitudes. And so a big congratulations goes out to Professor Catherine Hayhoe, who just won the 2019 UN Champion of the Earth.
Which is exactly how I hope everybody says it and everybody reads that online. Because I know the idea is she's championing the Earth,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But when you call it the UN Champion of the Earth, I feel like you should come with a WWE-style championship belt, right?
Yeah!
And your own entrance music when you enter the room.
Ladies and gentlemen, Professor Hayhoe, the Champion of the Earth!
Show them how it's done!
All right, open your books now to chapter 1, and what you're about to hear is done live on the air and extremely awkward.
Kevin and Sonia's
Sexy Slow Jams.
Listener's Choice Edition. As once again, we take everyday things and try to make them sound
sexy.
All right, so producer Jordan going through all the texts today, and you've come up with two suggestions that have a sort of a common theme.
Yes, listener's choice. So Jay gave you traffic lights, Kevin, and Patty gave you, Sonia, traffic signs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just 15 minutes is all we had to try to make those sound sexy in the style of a 90s style sexy slow jam. Mm-hmm. Sonia, reigning champion. I'm going to try to take that title away from you.
It might be easier today, but we'll see.
Okay. I don't know. My hands are sweating. I'm really nervous about this.
Are your knees weak?
Something mom spaghetti.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Does this mean you want to start?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I'll start. Why not? Okay. This is, again, about traffic lights. Here's what I came up with in my 15 minutes starting now.
Oh, girl. If there's one thing you need to know, is that I like following rules. So just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll let you control the pace. Tonight. Drive into your place, and my heart starts to race. Imagine the things that I do to you. You control the flow, a little stop and go, a little waiting, yeah. Advance left turn. The light turns to green. I rev my engine, so I speed up. I give it all that I've got. Yeah. Yellow means it's time to slow it down. Then it's time to pump the brakes. I said pump, 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 pump.
Wow.
Right, and then stop. Girl, if I were a traffic light, I'd turn red every time I see you. Just so I could stare at you a little bit longer. And scene.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Romantic.
Thank
you. Very romantic.
Thank you.
Seductive.
Very mood setting.
You know, I can always tell when you don't think I have a sexy slow jam that's good. He's like, yeah, well, yeah, that was something.
No, it was good. I was just trying to, like, you went red.
Think of something.
No, yeah. You went red, and so you could stare a little longer and be like, take a picture, it'll last longer.
All right, Sonia, let's see what you came up with in your 15 minutes. Your topic was traffic signs. Let's see what you came up with starting now.
Buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride. Now, I know you're wondering if this, you and I, were meant to be, if this is fate. Well, the signs have been there the whole time. Let me show you. Like a traffic sign, you've got all the warnings. Love is in the air. I want you to stay till the morning. You know what it says. Slippery ahead. Don't stop. Just merge. Wind coming to bed. The sign says one way. That's exactly what it is. Go straight to my house. I wanna be your miss. 100 kilometers to sexy town. Use that pull-out lane if you need to slow down. As we continue this road trip and you're driving through that tunnel of mine, I want you to know, keep watching for those traffic signs. You gotta take it slow, because something tells me there's a bump, bump, bump ahead.
Kiss Radio, good on ya. Yeah. It's Kevin.
It's me. And that's her. That's right.
Wow.
Okay.
It's Wednesday, also known as Hump Day. When we take everyday things and try to make them sound sexy. And this week's Sexy Slow Jam is listener's choice. And you can tell a lot of people are stuck in traffic. So that was a common theme through the messages that we got. And Jay chose the topic for me, which was traffic lights.
Yes.
And then Patty chose for Sonia traffic signs.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Jordan monitoring the votes through text 104.56.
And there is a lot of them coming through here.
Okay.
So one for Kevin. Kevin, that was steamy. No.
Did you mean that, by the way, just like one for Kevin?
No, I'm reading one text.
A lot of them came in.
There's a lot of texts. These are the ones that I wanted to read, okay?
Okay.
And then one for Sonia. Sonia gets my vote. Slow down in the pullout lane. Laugh out loud.
I always wondered who used them, right? Because when you see them on the highway.
Trucks.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Like semi-trucks that they can't slow down.
All right.
And to anyone listening to the slow jam.
There's also another one, too, that came through. Kevin, just because I think that was five pumps.
Oh, pumping your brakes.
Pump. Ooh, pump it up.
All night. You know it.
Well, the votes are in.
Yes.
And the winner this week with 72% of the vote is Sonia.
Hey. Yeah. Still got it. Is there any stopping you, son? Is there any stopping you?
You know, I hope not. Because you don't exactly feel the sexiest when you're pregnant, right? Sometimes.
Fair.
Right? So I still get it.
Oh.
Can you send a copy of that to my husband?
What?
The air grinding was a little much.
Was
but.
It?
Yeah.
Whoa. I was just committing. Watch this.
Oh. Can't unsee that.
Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio. This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fun up.
All right, deep breath. It was an emotional night for you, wasn't it?
I'm still recovering after watching opening night of Rent with Broadway Across Canada.
25,600 minutes. 525,000 moments, oh dear.
It's been a while since I've seen Rent, and I wasn't able to make it to the premiere last night. But
oh, man, guys.
It's a good story.
I forgot how much the freaking thing makes you cry.
Yeah.
Just ugly cry to the point where you're just, because the whole thing is so, it's basically a documentary about living in Vancouver. A bunch of people that can't afford to pay their rent. And is what it's about. And it's all people from all different types of backgrounds and who they are and celebrating who they are. And it's a very, to think about when it came out many years ago, decades ago, when Rent was made it onto Broadway, it was probably something that wasn't what we were nor used to see on Broadway, right? With your drag queens and taking a look, and they're talking about AIDS and all this. So, I mean, just saying that right there, you probably get an idea of what happens in the second half of the show. And watching it, I was sitting there just in tears, just crying, because it was very, it was something about it that really hit home, about people being accepted for who they are.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And the stories that we never know about strangers that you see on the street, the individuals in our lives even, that we just don't know fully what their, you know, stories are all about.
And how they end up there. And I will say, one of the great things that they did with Rent at Broadway Across Canada is that the second half, after the intermission, they open up with that song, the 500, right?
Yeah.
So they open up with that, which, so smart, because that's a way to ensure that everyone's going to be back in their seats, right? Because that's the song you do not want to miss. And it got to the point where there was a woman in front of us that had a few, you know, Chardonnays, and she was acting like it was a concert.
Was she singing along?
More so.
Oh,
she
no.
got up.
I didn't
think
you
stood up.
I thought everybody knew that you don't sing along in a musical.
Oh, she stood up, Kevin.
Okay.
She got up, glass of wine in right hand.
Oh, no.
So about 30 seconds in, my husband looks at me and he goes, and it's a shorter song, right? So my husband looks at me and goes, do I tell her to sit down? And I was like, maybe she'll... Yeah, you ask her to sit down. She was singing so loud, my husband had to ask her four times because she couldn't hear.
Oh, my. Okay, because the thing about doing like a live Broadway show, in this case Broadway Across Canada, is that you were there to see the incredible talents of, well, I guess unlike a concert, or, you know, pretty much like a concert, but concerts, it's acceptable to sing along. Whereas if you're paying good money to see these incredibly talented performers live on a stage, you don't want to hear the drunk woman beside you sing the words. Uh-uh. You want to hear them.
Yeah, trust me. And that, like, when I was singing along right now, that was pretty accurate of her singing ability. Like, it was like the yell scream. But I will tell you, she didn't last in the theater very long because I'm pretty sure she left to get
sick. No.
Oh.
She was pretty intoxicated. Good for you, girl. For leaving.
Rent, by the way, on now.
You got it. You can check out more at BroadwayAcrossCanada.ca if you want to get your hands on tickets at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre.
Wake the fun up.
Wake the fun up.
With Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Cody Lee's got to win the season of America's Got Talent, right?
I don't know.
He's got to win.
Who is this guy?
You've seen him. He was the guy who went viral a few weeks ago. Actually, probably about a month and a half ago when they started the new season of America's Got Talent. 22 years old. He is incredibly talented on the piano as a vocalist. He's also autistic and is blind.
Right.
Everyone in the world was sharing this video. And since then, he got the golden buzzer, right?
Okay.
And last night, this is his performance. Standing on the platform, watching you go. It's like no other pain that I've ever known. Like, my God, what a voice, eh? To love someone so much, to have no control. I said I want to see the world, and you said let's go. Are you not getting chills just hearing this?
You know how my emotions are all over the place already with my hormones. Why must you do this to me?
I'm not even pregnant like you are. And last night I was watching, you know, the finale of America's Got Talent. He starts singing this and I'm like, it's starting to well up. Without you.
Oh my God. Cause I've been strong for so long. And I never thought how much I. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Right.
So I'm just reading up about what all the judges had to say about the performance. Gabrielle Union, one of the judges, said that he changed the world and he changes every room that he enters. Then Julianne Hough says that she's like, when you get on a stage and you open your mouth and you sing, time stops. And I felt like that.
Right.
For a moment there when you played it, and this is not even me watching the performance, just listening to it, I stopped.
And the conversations that have come up as a result of Cody Lee and his success on America's Got Talent, rising, you know, in the ranks and continuing on the show has really helped open up the eyes to a lot of people as to the amazing talents of those who are on the spectrum, who have a visible disability, for example, like he is blind, and not to judge a book by its cover. It's sort of like the Susan Boyle story that you know, really became huge, like what, 10, 15 years ago? Mm-hmm. Probably longer than that.
Mm-hmm. And imagine like how long, was it Cody Lee?
Yeah.
How long Cody Lee has dreamt of this moment as well.
Yeah.
An opportunity to be on a stage, be accepted, be himself.
Yeah.
And be recognized for his incredible talent.
And I think across the board too, again, you know, watching the reactions from the crowd and the judges' comments, they pretty much all said, you know, this is yours to win. Like, this is just, or yours to lose, I should say. But they said, you know, you got to vote. Otherwise, you just sometimes will be surprised by the results if you just assume that everybody else is going to vote for Cody Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, just. So listen to the crowd's reaction. Like, they're all standing. They all have tears in their eyes. The judges give Cody Lee a standing ovation.
Of course.
I'll be honest. I didn't watch the entire season of America's Got Talent, but I did watch clips of Cody Lee and his performances throughout the week. Producer Jordan, you have been watching the season.
Yeah, he's definitely a standout, that's for sure. His performance last night was the best one of the night that I saw. I feel like some of the other performers don't deserve to be there, like some of the other acts. They just, I don't know how they got through. And I feel like they're running out of talent in the States. And no, seriously, like, they've seen everyone. So they're inviting other people from other countries are coming over as well. And some of them are very talented.
Right.
But it's like, it's not the best that they've had.
So the well is drying up, with the exception, of course, of people like Cody Lee, where you find the diamond in the rough. But aside from that, it's like, anyone?
So now's my chance.
So now's your chance.
Now's our chance to make it big, guys.
And thank God you weren't running in the same season as Cody Lee.
Yes.
Because you
next season, I'm coming for you, America's Got Talent.
Zero chance.
I need a talent, but
you'll figure that out. You got some time.
Whitney Houston is coming back. Got a couple tour dates. And I know you're thinking like, how?
Uh-oh. What? Oh, no.
What happened?
Yeah.
Is this like Tupac not really dead?
Oh.
Well, they have decided that they are going to do a hologram of Whitney Houston, and this is in partnership with her estate, and they are going to do some tour dates. So they've got an evening with Whitney, the Whitney Houston hologram tour. So as of right now, the tour kicks off in Mexico, and then they have some dates in the UK and in Europe as well.
So far, nothing around our neck of the woods quite yet.
But they are expecting to hit North America next fall. So what about a year from now?
I actually would go. Would you not go?
Depends on how much the tickets are.
Yeah, they should be less. They should be less than seeing, like, the live performer.
Yeah, much less.
Yes.
But there's something about, like, hearing her vocals and the live band. I assume there's a live band playing with her, and the stadium sound where you feel that in your body and hear the fans cheering beside you. Like, I you know, if you weren't able to see Whitney Houston when she was alive, mm-hmm. this could be sort of, I guess, the next best thing.
Yeah, and hopefully the hologram is better than the one they tried to use at The Voice a couple years back with Christina Aguilera. There was a performance that was supposed to air on The Voice, but the family kiboshed that because they're like, it's not true representation, it doesn't look great.
The Tupac one was good. Remember when they did that
at
one
Coachella.
At Coachella? It was pretty dope. Yeah. But that was also our first time seeing it. So I wonder if we go back and look back a couple of years and see if it still looked kind of cool. Because then it was a novelty, right?
That's
it was kind of cool. It's like when you look at scary movies and you go back and watch them and be like, I can see the hand on the puppet underneath. But when you were younger, you couldn't see it.
Absolutely.
Right.
I don't know. I'm hoping that there will be a date.
Well, next fall. Now you know.
Okay. I'm also hoping that she will start on time because there's no excuses. If there's a hologram there, how do you explain that?
Oh my God, so true.
Just press the button.
This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fun up.
The wedding traditions that are being killed off by millennials. First of all, what a horrible written headline, right? Sounds so negative. It could have just been like, here are some traditions that are no longer being used because, you know, weddings, they change.
Evolve.
They evolve. Exactly. Yeah. Millennials are like, this is the reason why we don't do this. Millennials have killed them.
No, and I think a lot of the times, I think it's actually quite brave of a lot of people taking a stance on doing things the way they want to do. A lot of times, we do things with our wedding or special occasions like that are the supposed tos.
Yep.
We're supposed to have this, so we should do it. But a lot of the time, there isn't a lot of meaning behind it for the actual couple themselves. So if it's something that you want, why not? Can I take a guess on what some of the things are?
Go for it.
Is it getting rid of the bridal party or the wedding party completely?
This particular list doesn't say getting rid of it entirely, but it says that more millennials have actually gotten rid of the single gender wedding party.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you were a part of my wedding party, right? You and were up there as, I think the technical term is an attendant. But yeah, you were
I always called myself a groom's girl.
Yeah. Yes. Although technically my wife would be the groom's girl, but...
Oh, but like, you know, like the groomsmen.
Yeah. But you were standing there beside me at the altar when I got married.
Is it getting rid of the head table and only having the bride and groom at this front table?
Oh, okay.
Because I've seen that a lot more now and I love it.
So again, I want to challenge you to think about some of these things as we go through the list and think about some of the weddings you've been to recently and see if this is in fact true. When the couple getting married doesn't see each other before the ceremony.
People do now.
They do now, right?
They do the first look beforehand. They capture it on camera.
And
they do it.
That is a changing tide when it comes to weddings.
Do you know why they do that also?
No, why?
The reason is because a lot of the times you spend a lot of money on the venue and all this sort of stuff and you want to be there for the guests. So you take your pictures before the ceremony so that you're not leaving such a break in between the ceremony and the reception. Because a lot of the times those pictures can take quite a few hours. And in the meantime, your guests are left going, what do I do? You kind of throw them a little cocktail party or they leave off site to go somewhere else.
Right.
And this way you can just join the party right afterwards.
See, that makes sense.
Yeah.
A lot of brides are ditching the white dress in millennial weddings.
Okay.
So different colors.
Off-white? Or do you mean like completely different?
Sometimes you see like a black dress once in a while. Speaking of dresses, millennials have apparently killed off the tradition of matching bridesmaid dresses.
Yes, I've seen that as well.
Maybe there's a common themed color, but the dresses don't necessarily all have to be the exact same make from the same designer and all that.
100%.
Traditional registries are gone for a lot of millennial weddings.
Because everyone just wants cash. Because we're broke.
Right? You go into the honeymoon fund. Or because, you know, you don't need a toaster anymore. You, for the majority of millennials getting married, you're already, you got stuff that you need. I can't even think about the last time I saw a wedding that had this. Exiting the car with just married signs and cans behind the car. That's a tradition that's no longer, you know, part of most weddings.
Yeah, nobody does that.
And finally, the practice of throwing rice at the married couple.
Oh!
Do you still see that? I see bubbles a lot.
At Indian weddings, the bride, when she's leaving her parents, we do a doli, and it's been a while since I remember this, but when we have after the wedding, the groom comes to the bride's house in a heterosexual relationship, and then you go and you grab your wife because it's the first time she's leaving her parents' house usually.
Okay.
Even if you don't live there anymore, we still do this part of the tradition. And then she's got rice and she's throwing it over her shoulder as a blessing.
Okay.
And so we still do it at Indian weddings. You'll see like the rice that the bride actually throws, not at the couple itself, which I always wondered why you throw it at the couple. You've spent all this money on this updo.
The hair.
Or whatever. Yeah. And there's all this hairspray. And then you've got a grain of rice stuck in there.
Or in the case of like a lot, right?
Yeah.
You see like the wedding line and everybody's got like a handful of rice.
But at that point, you spend so much money on the wedding. You're like, that'll be dinner tomorrow because we have no money.
What a waste of food, you know?